You're listening to the podcast at First Assembly Church. For more information, check us out at firstassemblychurch.org.
Hey, I'm Pastor Jason B. I'm the executive pastor here at First Assembly Church, and we're just so glad that you're here. What would it look like for your life to honestly be able to say, hey, I'm living the dream? For that not to be cliche, I mean, like, if you think about it this morning, what would it be like for you to say, I'm living the dream? What would it look like? Well, I'm glad with that question in your mind. I want to go into this. I want to say thank you to Pastor Jason Noble for the opportunity to speak to you this morning about just that, about how to take our lives from where they are and move them to where I believe God calls us to. Most of life will sometimes, I've found, fall into one of three categories, and that is survival mode. You don't have to raise your hand. I've been there. I've lived there long enough to know I really want to take my life to the next level, and that would be like some success. Like, I knew what I wanted, and I went and got it, and now I'm living that. But then there's another whole mode that we need to get to, and that's significance. Survival mode, I've lived in long enough to know that I don't want to live there, but I want more to my life than just being personally successful. I want to make a difference, maybe in your lives this morning. In fact, I write a lot about this. I spent a lot of time thinking about it over the last couple years, probably because I spent enough time in survival mode that I realized I don't want to be there forever. And so some of you already follow me there. If you're interested, I do a lot of posting on Instagram at Theology of Success. Theology of Success. I'd love to shameless plug for that. But here's the question. What if God wants you to succeed? What if God wants you to be successful and significant? What would that look like? Today we're going to look at a particular story in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16. A man named Paul, who, funny thing, he used to oppose Christianity. And now we find him as one of the greatest proponents of Christianity in history. I really don't want to switch, so I'm not going to if I don't have to, but I've got a backup here now just in case. So, Paul used to oppose Christianity, and now he's one of the largest advocates for it. You know, that's not that rare. I don't know if you've ever seen or studied this, but a lot of people who sought to discredit Jesus studied it. They didn't ignore him, but they studied to prove him wrong and ended up convincing themselves that he was absolutely right. It's happened in my life where I used to not be a Christian till I was about 20, and now after he's convinced me, like, I would love if in anything I do today, I would be able to inspire you, maybe even some of you that are just wanting to test the waters. What is this Jesus thing all about? That I would be able to inspire you to go all in with him. Today specifically, we're talking about having a God-given dream. I believe that God has a dream for your life. I believe that God has a vision for your life. I believe that God has a plan for your life. I believe that regardless. A couple days ago, I was standing in the middle of 364 in the fast lane, standing there talking to a young man as we were standing there looking at his car upside down up against a giant truck. And I had watched the whole thing happen, and so I was on a different road, but I had run onto the freeway, and I was standing there. He had climbed out by the time I got there, and I was like, dude, you are lucky. And he's like kind of dazed, and I was like, seriously, God has an awesome plan for your life. I think it's more than just luck. I think God is. But I told him, look, I would tell you that regardless. But looking at all this, standing in the middle of the highway, I would definitely say you got a second chance here. And there's moments like that, but here's the deal. Today, I want all of us, before we have to end up upside down on the middle of a highway to figure this out, I would like for all of us to take a step towards God's dream for our lives this morning. In Acts 16, the church had been growing. This is like a highlight reel of everything that had happened in the first century. Jesus came to the planet, said, look, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Then he dies, which was like a kind of a deal breaker for some. Like, whoa, we thought you were the Messiah. But then he rises again. Hand clap, everyone. Don't try that one at home, all right? Like, he rises from the dead. And then he says, look, I'm taking off. And they're like, whoa, wait a sec. Aren't we now going to take over the world? Doesn't that make sense? What are they going to do, kill you? I tried that one. And he just like, no, you don't get it. Like, I'm leaving so that the promise can come. So that the same spirit that raised me from the dead can now give life to you. So that you can take the message, my message of who I am, to all of the world. You can start where you're at in Jerusalem. Then you can go to Judea and Samaria and go to your region. But eventually you're going to go to the ends of the earth. And what we see unfold in the next several chapters that we've been looking through over the last several months is that happening. First in their city, and then in their region, and then to the ends of the world. I think it's ironic that they started in Jerusalem, and they stayed in Jerusalem until all of a sudden mass opposition, difficulty arose against them, persecution came against them, a lot of it by this guy that we're talking about, Paul. And so the difficulty actually propelled them into the fulfillment of the ends of the earth. Acts 16, where we're jumping in today, is kind of that ends of the earth moment. This is the man Paul on what is his second missionary journey now, taking this message about Jesus, this good news, to the ends of the earth. A lot of growth was happening. It says at the end of 16, it says that he encouraged people to follow Jesus, it says that the church was growing every single day. Verse 6 of Acts 16 says, next, right? What's next? Someone say next. Next, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit, listen, look at this, because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Time out. The Holy Spirit, the one that Jesus said that rose me from the dead, I'm going to give to you and you're going to have it, and now he's going to take you to the ends of the earth. Paul's like, he's in the northeast quadrant of the Mediterranean world. And he's like, I know there's a lot of people up there in Asia. Let's go northeast. And it says that the Holy Spirit of God that is supposed to be given to the planet to testify to us and through us about Jesus prevents Paul from preaching the message in the northeast of the Mediterranean world at that time. I'm not sure how the Holy Spirit prevented them. We don't know how the Holy Spirit stopped them from going northeast. Possibly it was circumstance. Sometimes there's circumstances, right? War. Closed door. Sometimes, and I know there's always, you know, I don't know how it, sometimes circumstances does close down. Roadblocks. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was weather. God has used weather throughout Scripture over and over again. I don't know, every time they opened the door, it was like, whoa, okay, well, we'll wait a day. You know, open the door again. I don't know. We weren't there, okay? Maybe it was an invisible force field. They're like, fascinating. You find a door, and then all of a sudden they put out a little pan. They were doing mime. They were doing mime activity after that. No, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was just a still small voice. Maybe it was a large voice. Just walking along, headed northeast. No. No. I don't know. I wasn't there. Maybe it was just the peace of God. Maybe they just had a lack of it. I remember one time I was traveling throughout Africa, Kenya and Uganda, with my grandmother, just the two of us. She had spent 10 years there, and then on one of her trips home, she led me to the Lord, and after I finished Bible college, she said, well, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to preach about Jesus. I want to tell people about Jesus. And she goes, I know where we can go. And so the two of us went to Africa and spent a month there meeting her friends and had a lot of opportunities to speak. I got to meet this Anglican, which is like the Church of England, missionary woman. She was 73 years old. And my grandma said, I want you to meet her. She's been a missionary here for the last several decades. And she's 73. And I'm talking like, she looked a little older than 73. Can I just be honest? I mean, she had the white hair. And she moved so slow. And she was British. And so she had, when I met her, I was sitting down and she came into the room. She had a little saucer with tea. That's what British people have, right, in my mind, and it was perfect, all right? And she looked like this British, just imagine, this sweet little British grandma, and she had this little cup of tea, and it was rattling as she walked. And she had one tea in her hand, and then she had a cup of what they call cookies. But if you've ever had a British cookie, it's not a cookie. It's not a cookie. It's a cracker, all right? And so she had these things. We are giving cookies away today, not crackers, all right? So she comes walking into the room so, like, slow, and I'm sitting in this chair. And then here's this chair that she's going to sit in. It's the only empty one. And it's turned this way, and my grandmother and I are sitting here. The chair is not turned towards us, and the three of us are going to have cookies and tea together. And she comes walking into the room slow. So about the moment I get up out of my chair to move the chair for her, she goes, poof, kicks the chair. She just, boom, kicks the chair. The chair slides over perfectly, and she sits down, and she goes, well then, in her little British accent. And then she proceeds to tell me the story about the time she was smuggling Bibles into the Darfur region by backpack in Sudan, and she got into a knife fight. Then she tells me about the other time she was smuggling Bibles into Sudan and got into a knife fight. And then she says, but those were nothing. That was nothing like the time we were smuggling Bibles into Sudan and we got into the gunfight. And then she says, but all of those, the worst one was when we were in Sudan and a mamba snake dropped on me from the ceiling during a prayer meeting. And that's what I was thinking. I was like, how do you do it? That's what I was like, how do you do that? And she said, oh, it's easy. We make our plans, and we pray the night before over everything that we're going to do. And then in the morning, when we wake up, if the peace of God is with us, then we know it's going to be okay, and we go. But if the peace of God is not with us, then we don't go. Some of you are more spiritual than I, because I was thinking, what are you talking about? What? Like, oh, isn't the peace of God with us always? And what I knew and what she knew is that in a couple weeks, I was getting ready to go up to the Sudan border in Gulu that was at that time controlled by the Lord's Resistance Army to minister to children on the sidewalks. I knew that for 45 miles away from Gulu and all the way there, we couldn't slow down or stop for anybody, even the police. I knew that if there was a barricade set up by the military, we were going to drive as fast as we could right into them. We were going to drive right through it. We would not stop for anybody because a moving target is harder to hit than a stop target. And I'm trying to figure out, now, what is the peace of God, this thing that you speak of? And I'll tell you what, I don't know how to put it into words, but because I know in America, like, we have that. We have the peace of God. I hope that you have peace this morning. But when I woke up that morning, we had prayed over it, we had made our plans. I woke up that morning, it was like a garment. It was like, it's going to be okay. And I knew. And then the thoughts, just like normal, would enter my brain. What if? What if I die and I don't get to go home and marry the beautiful woman that I met named Ashley, and I just really want that really right now, and you know, I want to marry her, and you know, what, and I just knew, it's going to be okay. The peace of God was with us. So I don't know what prevented Paul. I don't. I will say this, disclaimer, emotions and feelings make a terrible compass for the journey of life. But they can serve as awesome confirmation about the direction you're choosing to go. And so, I don't know what prevented Paul from going on that journey, but either way, we see that Paul is determined to lead those who don't know Jesus into relationship with him, but he's prevented from doing it at that time, that northeast corner of the world, Mediterranean world. Look, verse 7 says, then coming to the border of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia, like modern-day Turkey. So it's like Asia's here, Turkey, Middle East here. He wants to go north, and it says, but again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. Have you ever felt compelled to do something right, and nothing that you did was turning out right? Have you ever felt like God had called you to do something, and every time you tried, it was roadblock and shut down? If so, you're in good company. Ever feel like journeying from survival mode to success and significance? You ever feel like it's one step forward and two steps back? It's exactly what Paul feels like. Here's a key to success and significance. Here's a key to living the dream, that God-given dream that we see in Paul and Silas already. Don't give up. Don't give up. Someone say, don't give up. They didn't quit even when their plans were being frustrated by the Lord. Sometimes we blame other things. Sometimes it's Him. Sometimes that which you think is opposing you, I just want to fulfill God's calling. God's like, yeah, but not there and not right now. In the words of the sage philosopher Steven Tyler, he said, dream on, dream on, dream on. Dream, come on with me, until your dreams come true. I can't go there, all right? If my voice, I'm not even going to try, all right? Dream until your dreams come true. When you're on a mission and things aren't working out like you thought when you started, then you don't give up. You got to focus on what God's doing in you and not just what's happening to you. Here's what I've found. God is much more concerned with my character than He is my comfort. He is not as concerned with the destination as He is my orientation. Ministry, Paul understood that ministry isn't a place. It's a person. Ministry is not a destination. It's an orientation. Ministry is not a vocation. It's an orientation of life. Do I put on the mindset that whether I go northeast or whether I go north, I'm here to fulfill a purpose and share a message? Sometimes success and significance can become a destination. When I make such and such, when I have such and such, then I will be. What if success and significance wasn't a matter of what you have or where you are, but who you are on the inside? Verse 8, it says, so instead, they went on. Read that with me. So instead, they went on. I can't go to the northeast. I can't go north. They went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. If I can't go northeast, if I can't go north, I'll go west. There's an ocean to my south, I'll go west. Like, which direction do you need to go in your life? I don't know. Is all the other doors shut? Then go that other way. They went on because they trusted that where they couldn't, maybe God could. And you have to trust that God has already gone before you, even if the plans aren't going like you thought. Maybe His plans were bigger than yours. I think Paul should have planned his missionary journey like he did. But I love his willingness to not give up when his plans were just being directed in a different direction. And that we have to have that same thing, that lack, we're just not going to give up. Your failure to go one way may turn out to be the foundation for the rest of your life. I feel like I'm living proof of that. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in others. Sometimes we're prevented from one thing so that we can be set apart for another. Do you know how many things were invented by accident? the microwave oven. A guy was playing around with tubes in a laboratory, and the chocolate bar was melting in his pocket. Then he threw a little popcorn on the counter, and it popped, and he was like, I am going to be rich. I hope he is. I don't know. The slinky was actually originally a spring that was designed to measure Navy ships' power. And they dropped it on the floor, and it kept bouncing around. And they're like, that's awesome. Now it's a marvelous thing. All right. Silly putty, also made to try to create rubber boots for our military. It was terrible for that. But they're like, man, I just can't stop playing with this. And now it's just a toy. Has no other purpose, all right? But it's just, it's like you can play with it and then it bounces. You guys aren't as impressed as I am. All right, that's fine. Do you know what WD-40 stands for? Just raise your hand. You don't shout it out. WD-40. You know what WD-40? The WD stands for water displacement. 40 means it was the 40th attempt by NASA to create a formula that would actually do its job. Today it's marketed as WD-40. Great marketers. I don't know, what do you want to call it? I don't know. It's water displacement 40. That's too long. WD-40. Done. I love this, all right? Okay, did you know that bubble wrap was invented to be trendy wallpaper? I'm not making this up. Listen, I know some of you watch way too much HGTV. Don't ever put it on your walls, okay? Because you know what will happen. You know what happened. You know why it's not on people's walls. Kids walked in like, this is great. Pop, 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 right? And then IBM was like, hey, man, maybe we could ship this somewhere, wrap it around a computer, and then the rest is history, all right? So James Dyson created and tested 5,271 vacuums before creating his. Now he's the number one vacuum model distributor in the world. After hearing about the 1,000 dud light bulb prototypes, a reporter one time asked Thomas Edison, what did it feel like to fail 1,000 times? Thomas Edison replied, I didn't fail 1,000 times. The light bulb was an invention with 1,000 steps. What is your dream? Listen, what is your vision? What is your destination? What is your focus? What is your calling? You haven't missed it. You haven't ran by it. It's out in front of you. I know this because there's air in your lungs and there's blood in your veins. I know you haven't missed God's purpose for your life. You haven't failed. Maybe your calling just took 1,000 steps to get there. It's out in front of you. Don't give up. Someone say, don't give up. Are you recovering from an addiction? Yeah. Don't give up. Someone say, don't give up. Are you searching for a job? Don't give up, all right? Are you trying to reconcile a relationship? Yeah. Don't give up. Say it, don't give up. Trying to finish school? Don't give up, all right? Don't give up. You're pursuing your dream, don't give up. Verse 9, it says, that night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece, which was like on the other side, a little bit of water, right? The Greek peninsula comes down in the middle of the Mediterranean world. They were on the other side of some water. They get a vision, and it is standing there. A man from Macedonia, from northern Greece, was standing there pleading with him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Some translations call it a dream, some call it a vision, but he has this moment, come and help us. Here's the dream. Here's the vision. I love how it happens after the fact. Like you could have told us we were going to Greece. Really? We'd have been down. We'll go anywhere. First we had to try this and get frustrated. First we had to try that and get frustrated. Oh, now you interrupt me at night in a prayer meeting, a vision, a dream, and tell me where to go. Maybe God was working something in Paul's heart. I think he's always working something in our heart. But here's what I want you to see is that he's driven by compassion. Paul is driven by compassion. He has this dream of somebody pleading with him. And that's what I think another key to living our dreams is desire to serve others. The entire world, except for one very small exception, is made up of others. And if you would desire to serve them,
It's a key that will unlock success and truly catapult you right into significance, get you out of just surviving your life and into what am I here to make a difference? Something I talk a lot about at Converge with the students. Right now I am the youth director here and I'm having a good time with them. We're talking about leveling up our life. We're talking about how can we add the most value to the most amount of people. What if you had that agenda when you went to work? What if you had that agenda when you headed into the holidays? What if you had that agenda when you got home from work? How can I add the most value to the most amount of people? What would that look like? Paul was motivated by love. Quick commercial for Converge. If you are a student or a teenager or know a student or teenager, then join us this Wednesday at 7 o'clock, will you? Shameless plug. There's one hand clap. Do I have another? And another. Come on, everybody, Converge this Wednesday. All right, so listen, there's some good things happening. I'll save that for there and then, but this Wednesday, come on out to Converge. Regardless, let's serve others. Let's desire to serve others. You want to get out of survival mode? It's not just about you. The greatest products, the greatest people, they serve them. Others. The greatest businesses, the greatest organizations, they serve others. We just heard an awesome testimony this morning about how our church is getting ready to serve others, and another person heard about it, and they were like, I want to come and partner with you serving others. Why? Because it's attractive when you serve others, desire to serve others. Let's let the love of God compel us. Verse 10, it says, so we decided to leave for Macedonia at once. Someone say at once. Having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. Key to success and significance. Key to living the dream is right here. Move with urgency. Move with urgency. A couple of things about success is that, like, here's the deal. Opportunities have a shelf life. The opportunity that you have right now in front of you is not going to last the rest of your life. In fact, the best opportunities often have a very limited life expectancy, meaning you've got to take that opportunity now or it will be gone. You know this if you're in the business world. I coach right now 2 soccer teams and 1 youth basketball team. Pray for me every Saturday. I'm exhausted, all right? But something I'm trying to get our athletes to understand is that in sports, opportunities last about a second. I'm rounding up, to be honest. The second is all you have to make the most of that opportunity. Otherwise, it's gone. Don't wait. Oh, you hesitated. That opportunity's gone. Now you have to position yourself for another opportunity. Opportunities have a very limited life expectancy. You have to prepare. I don't believe in luck, by the way. I believe that you position yourself for opportunities. I do think when you study people who are very successful and very significant, you'll see, man, they were lucky. They were in the right place at the right time. Yep. Preparing for the opportunities and then moving with a sense of urgency. Opportunities are in front of, I'm skipping down here. Psalms 90 verse 12 says, teach us the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. Feeling romantic? You have to ask, okay? Fellas, I'm just going to have, well, first, bathe and deodorant. You don't have to smell like a pony, then ask, okay? Parenting, all right? Parenting has a shelf life. I know when it starts, it seems like it's going to last forever, but so many of you already know this. Those years are gone, and when they're gone, they're gone. And then you come back, and you're like, you want to play Hot Wheels? And they're like, I'm not into Hot Wheels anymore. And it's funny and not funny at the exact same time. Because shelf opportunities, friendships, jobs, your future has a shelf life. You're not going to be here forever. I like what Ralph Waldo Emerson said. It says, you cannot do a calling too soon, for you never know how soon it will be too late. Let's not wait to say yes to what God has for our lives. Let's go after it. Seize opportunities. People succeed in their lives not because they see the opportunity. It's because they move with a fire and a tenacity and an urgency and seize the opportunity. Which takes me to my last point, is that you have to be action-oriented. They moved. God's calling, they were moved. They were moved with urgency. They went. They did. They served. They gave.
they went. I know sometimes right now, like, I know the verse, I think the verse, be still and know that I am God, has been taken way too literally. Paul wasn't still. He's like, I'm going to go to the northeast because they need Jesus. And then, no, y'all can't go there. I'm going to go to the north because they need Jesus. And then I don't know where to go. I guess we'll go west. They go west, and he has a dream. He says, get on a plane and go. I'm just kidding. It was a boat. And then they go across some water, and they get there. I said that was my last point, but here's my last point. Oh, here's 4 points. I'm going to put them all on the screen. Ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Get those. Here's how to be action-oriented. You want to help serve people? Be the first to help. This is stuff John Maxwell said. He's a smart guy, right? Be the first to help. You always remember the first person who helps you, don't you? All right? Take the risk for significance. It's a risk, but go for it. 3, do what's right, even if there's no return for you. All right? 4, you want to be action-oriented? Encourage those around you. Sometimes they're like, well, I didn't sign up for the African trip. I didn't sign up for this. I'm there. No one's going to give me an opportunity like that. Take the opportunities around you and become an encourager right now, today. Look for things that other people are doing around you today and thank them and encourage them. And now all of a sudden you're going to begin to see more opportunities because you seized more opportunities to serve others. You don't have to go far. Here's the last key. Items and dreams may appear different in real life. We've already seen that through this story with Paul. But dreams are blurry. It's like, I have a dream. Anybody ever had this amazing dream and you woke up and you're like, man, I had a dream. It was, nope, gone. I have no idea what it was about. I feel good though. It's going to be a good day, right? That's how dreams are. Sometimes that's how vision is. Sometimes that's how the dream for your future is going to be. Like, I know what it kind of looks like, but no, I can't really describe it. Like, items in real life, my items and dreams are going to look different in real life, but they're going to be better. They might not be ideal, but they're real. And real life trumps the ideal life every time. I think procrastination seeps in when we're waiting for the ideal. Get busy today with the opportunity that you have. Go to work today doing something with what God has given you today. Here's something that you want to know about this story. Paul arrives in Macedonia. We'll see this in the next couple weeks. Right? He had a dream from God. Man from Macedonia, please come over here. And then he arrives and he goes to the well where people might be gathering, and he finds a large group of women. So he leads them to Jesus. Then one of those women named Lydia says, hey, we'll start a church in my house. Then they go to Lydia's house. And then sometime after that, we don't know if it was 3 days or 3 weeks or 3 months, he sees a woman who is possessed by a demon and he heals her. What am I saying? He had a vision and a dream of a man from Macedonia, and he gets there and he can only find women. Some of you single guys are like, I want that anointing. No, I'm just kidding. Here's what I'm saying is, he didn't give up. Finally, he does meet a couple guys and leads them and their families to the Lord. We don't know if they look like that, but here's the deal. It might look different than what you thought when you moved out towards it. But don't give up. You might have failed a time or two, but those were just steps that it was taking for you to get where you were meant to be. I want to pray over everyone right now. If you just, every head bowed and every eye closed, you feel like giving up today, I'm going to pray for a tenacity. You feel like maybe you've just been kind of just lethargic. You haven't been moving forward in life like you know that you can, like you know you were created to. I want to pray just for that fire, that tenacity to get in your bones to move you forward in life. Some of you have been discouraged because, man, this doesn't look like the dream I set out on. I'm going to pray that God would encourage you in every way so that you would see that, man, this is that, and I can add value even more. God, I pray for anyone in this place right now. If you just feel like giving up, would you just hold your hands open? You don't have anything to lose. You already feel like giving. Just hold your hands open in front of you right now. God, I pray that you would pour purpose. You would pour encouragement. You would pour blessing. God, that they wouldn't give up. Those that are seeking a job, those that are breaking addiction, those that are going after everything you've called them to, God, that they wouldn't give up, but they would press forward into everything that you've called them to. God, those that have just been kind of lazy,
Lord, some of us, we haven't given everything that we should have. We haven't done it right at the right time. But today, God, we want to take advantage of every opportunity. God, I pray for a new divine tenacity, a fire to go after everything that you have, God. And if those that are discouraged, those following God's plan and they're discouraged today, God, I pray that you would encourage them. And you would encourage them so much that right away they would begin to be encouragers themselves. In Jesus' name, as we continue to pray, if you're here this morning, you have an opportunity to commit your life to following Jesus Christ. He came, he died, he rose again to give you new life. If anybody believes in him, they wouldn't perish, but they would have everlasting life. And if you're ready for that, or it's been a long time, here's what, don't miss this opportunity, because this opportunity also has a shelf life. But right now, you have the opportunity in front of you. I want to pray with you. If you're ready to go all in with Jesus, would you be bold and lift your hand and look at me and say, Jason, Pastor Jason, I'm ready. Just go ahead. Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. Is there anybody else that's ready to commit their life? That's awesome, my man. That's great. Don't be ashamed about it. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to have you stand up or come down front. Is there anybody else that wants to join with these few? That's great. That's great. That's awesome. Do it. Do it. That's awesome. I see that. Awesome. Do it. Over here on the right. That's great. Excellent. Anybody else? Do you have time for that? You can put your hands down. Let's each and every one of us pray this prayer. Say, Jesus, I want to live your dream for my life. I've lived for myself, but today I want to live for you. You died for me. You rose again. You give new life. Today, I give you my life. I live for you. In Jesus' name.